What you're about to hear for the next few moments, and I'm saying this very sincerely, is one of the most important messages I can give, especially in the climate, if I can use that term, the atmosphere that we are now in. I'm going to explain to you something that the Holy Spirit gave me this phrase, but I'm going to go into detail. Christians who are giving Satan credibility. Satan has no credibility. He's a thief, he's a murderer, and he's a liar. But what I'm going to show you is how Christians, whether they do it willfully or ignorantly, are giving credibility to Satan. Now, this is part two of a teaching I did. If you missed last week's, it's imperative that you go back and listen to the vision of a minister friend of mine, because it ties in with what I'm about to tell you. We're going to talk about warfare in the church between Christians and Satan, and how Christians are giving themselves over, as Paul said, to the will of Satan without their knowledge. This is very huge insight. Now, last week, if you remember, I shared with you a vision of a dear friend of mine, a man of God, Billy Burke, and how in this vision that he saw, he heard a prince spirit saying that there was a plot and a strategy, September 2021, to begin to take out the leaders, that there would be a list made. Now, I touched on this last week a little bit, but I want to really emphasize this further. And that is this, that when you hear this kind of statement, Satan cannot just kill a Christian. Can I tell you how I know that? Because we would all be dead by now. You know as well as I do that if he had the authority to take out every leader, he would have taken out Billy Graham before he ever won millions to the Lord. He would have taken out many of these great television ministers that have gone to be with the Lord before they ever had the opportunity to do it. Psalms 91 gives the believer protection, and there's many other verses as well that you can read. Here's another thing you need to know. Even in an attack, Satan is limited to taking someone's life. In the book of Job chapter 2 and verse 6, when Satan was going after Job, the Lord said, "Now you can take his health, but you're not going to take his life." So he is limited in the ability of even taking someone's life. Now, I do know this, Satan attempted to kill Jesus on several occasions. Why couldn't he kill him? First of all, he had no power. Jesus said, "You have no authority to take my life. I lay it down and pick it back up again." But also, it says in John chapter 7 and verse 30, John 8 verse 20, his hour had not yet come. I mean, he could get in a boat that was full of water and the boat wouldn't go down because his hour had not yet come. They could try to stone him in Jerusalem at the temple, but it wasn't going to work because his hour had not yet come. And even when the Apostle Paul, here's another example, he was stoned in the city of Lystra and left for dead, and they drug his body outside the city and left it there. And it says in Acts 14, 19 through 20, that the disciples prayed for him, and when they prayed, he was completely raised up by God, and the next day went his way. It was a miracle of the Lord. Now, that may have been the time when he actually was caught up into paradise and saw things that he couldn't even tell people. And he mentions that in 2 Corinthians 12. Maybe that happened when he was stoned and left for dead. But see, God wasn't finished with him. And because God wasn't finished with him, when he finally got to Rome, he said, "Now I am ready to be offered." He knew Satan could not take his life till he was finished, till his assignment was done. You know, even John, listen to this carefully, and I'm going to do a message on this at some point because I got stirred when I looked at this. The Apostle John was boiled in oil in order to kill him. It did not kill him, and instead he was sent to the Isle of Patmos where he saw the book of Revelation and wrote about that book, and we have that now in our Bible, the vision that he had. In Mark 9 and 1, there was a prophecy that someone was not going to die till they saw the kingdom. Oil, hot oil, did not kill John because he had a prophecy. He was the one that was going to see Jesus coming in the kingdom, but not physically in the vision he wrote in the book of Revelation. Another example is the beheading of Peter. James was killed, and they were going to behead Peter, but Peter escaped through the power of an angel of God and went to a home where they were having a prayer meeting for him to get out of prison. Now, why was James killed and Peter spared? And the answer is very simple. In John 21, verse 18, Jesus had already told Peter, "You'll live to be an old man." So in other words, no matter how many attempts the enemy made in the lives of the apostles, no matter how many times he tried to disrupt and stop them, he could not do it. Let me say it this way, old sermon of mine. He could hinder him, but he could not defeat him. And I say it again, he could hinder him, but he could not defeat him. So let's go back to my original thought. Okay, if Satan doesn't have the keys of death and hell, how does he take out the leaders? Everybody listen to me. It's called Satan's Accusation Hit List. And I want to repeat that phrase again. Satan's Accusation Hit List. If you were to say to me, Brother Perry, can you tell me what is Satan doing now? Some people say, all the devil, Satan and all the devils in hell. That's not where he is right now. Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air, upper atmosphere. And Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 said he is the accuser of the brethren before God day and night. Now, let me break this down again. Heaven is a courtroom. And in the courtroom of heaven, there are angels of various types. We won't go into detail about how many there are and what types there are. But Satan, according to Job 1:2, has access into the heavenlies to bring accusations and to accuse. The word accuser means a complainant, a complainant at the law, someone who is bringing a complaint on a legal level or on a judicial level. And it's has to do with charging someone with an offense or charging, more specifically, someone with a particular crime. So an accuser comes into the court before a judge and a jury to make a complaint and bring a charge against someone. Now, when it says Satan is the accuser, that's exactly what he is doing. All right. Look at the book of Job, for example. OK, if you look at the book of Job, Job did have a fear, according to chapter 3 and verse 25, of somehow losing his blessing, because he said after all the trouble came, quote, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. However, when Satan went to God, pay attention, when Satan went to God to try to accuse Job, he could not accuse him of sin. And the reason he couldn't is the Bible said Job was a man who feared God and shunned evil. So in Job's accusation, pay attention, it was not the charge that we see in Revelation 12, where Satan is accusing people of doing wrong. And I'll explain why in a moment. And he's accusing them in the court of heaven. He does it different with Job. He can't go and say, Job has sinned, and I have a right to attack him because he's opened up a door, because Job had not sinned. But here's what he said. Here's the accusation. You blessed him. That's why he serves you. Take the blessing. He will curse you. Now, if you are in that situation, that's an accusation. So that is Satan, a prosecutor, going before God, who is a judge, to make an accusation against a man of God. Now, here's what's important. In our situation and in your situation, based on the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, what is Satan accusing you of? Now, he can do the same thing. He can accuse you of serving God for the wrong reasons. He can accuse you of mistreating people. He sees that happen. But in Revelation 12, it appears to me, based on other scriptures, that Satan is trying to continually charge the believers, the brethren. The Bible says he accuses the brethren. That in Greek means those in the assembly. We would say today those in the church, those in the house of God. And he's trying to bring a sin charge against you. And this is the reason why the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ. Advocate is someone who is like an attorney or a lawyer presenting your case. Jesus represents me and you in the court of heaven. Satan is a prosecutor. And what he is doing is he's making charges against you. Now, here's the reason why. Man, is this a revelation? You're about to hear a revelation of the Holy Spirit, so pay attention. He can either make the charge of what you have done in the form of sin stick, meaning you did it and you haven't repented of it. And in that case, the charge sticks. But the whole idea of trying to get you to sin is because if he can make a charge stick because you did it and you've not repented truly to God, maybe forsaken what you're doing, sin opens the door to a further attack of Satan. Now listen to me again. If he can go and accuse you before God and you've been forgiven, there's no charges in the book if you're under the blood. That's why it says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But if you did it, he knows it, and he makes that charge stick, what does happen is it opens up a door to other attacks. Now, let me give you the verse from the book of Genesis that explains this. Here it is. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not you be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So he's warning him, Cain, you've got to rule over your emotions, your anger. You better get it together. Because if you don't, sin lies at the door. You know what Cain did right after this? He killed his brother. He did not, he left an opening in a door of jealousy and anger. He did not deal with it. It got the best of him, and the door was open for that attack of Satan to use that in his life. So here it is again, and this is important. Understand, Satan is the accuser of the brethren before God day and night. If he makes it stick and can prove you did it, he has an open door. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you with wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And what did Peter do? He denied the Lord. He had a temporary eclipse of his faith where his faith failed him, and he went out repenting and wept bitterly, and that's how he was able to be restored. So, this is very important. When Billy saw that take out the leaders, it is my opinion that it's not about necessarily just death, because disease can take you out, heart attacks can take you out. The virus that we had took a lot of people out, but we have entered, and it's not just recently. I can take you back to the 80s and the 90s where this happened. It's been happening for a long time, but it's getting worse in what we call, this is a revelation now, the Lord wants you to understand, we're in the season of the accuser. We are in the season of the accusation. Now, Satan has two main names, Satan and the devil. If you look at the word Satan in Hebrew, it is translated in the King James translation of the Bible as adversary. Not everywhere, but there's three places, there were several men, it was two or three men that were enemies of Solomon. And the Bible said the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. And that word in Hebrew is Satan. Satan means adversary in Hebrew, but is also a proper name for the fallen angel of, we call the devil or Satan, okay? In the Old Testament, the adversary, Satan, used people to attack Solomon most of his life. Now, if you look at the word devil in Greek means a false accuser. Listen to this now, a slanderer. Now, here's the part that I've got to show you. Christians are giving the devil credibility, and I'm going to explain that to you right now. Satan has to use people and has to use their voice to get his point across. Here's the reason why. Satan has no audible voice. You don't walk around during the day, I am the devil, I'm coming after you. But you might hear it in your mind. And what people do is what they hear in their head, they speak with their mouth, or what they hear in their heart, because the heart has a brain of its own. That's been proven scientifically. Don't think that's weird. But what they hear in their heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. So if you have bitterness, hate, offense in your heart, you're going to talk it. You're going to talk about the person you're offended with. You're going to slander the person that you think did you wrong. And so the devil's accusations begin in the heavenlies many times based on what is happening on the earth. It's not just him in heaven doing something and then it manifests on the earth. There's things manifesting on the earth, being said on the earth and done on the earth, that gives him the authority, are you listening, to go before God in heaven and say, this is now being discussed. So here's what I want you to know. Now, the greatest statement I ever heard in my life was several years ago when, and I think this came from my dear friend Tony Scott. And Tony said this, and everybody clean your ears out, body of Christ, around the world, and listen to this statement. Quote, accusation is not evidence. I want to say it again. Accusation is not evidence. And what happens is when anyone, and this can be in the secular world, this can be in the Christian world, but if anyone comes under an accusation, you are innocent till you are found guilty. And you better be found guilty by a true jury who are honest people if you're going to be found guilty, okay? I'm not going to cover that any further. But here's the point, that just because someone is, and you'll hear people say, now it's been alleged, it's been said, it's been alleged, 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 it's been said, but people don't understand that alleged mean it's not proven. Alleged mean there's no evidence at this point. Now, could there be later? Yes. But what happens is people take the allegation and make it fact. They take the allegation and they make it evidence. That is false witnesses. That's being a false witness. You didn't see it happen. You weren't there when it happened. And yet you're repeating something that someone has told you, but you weren't there. You know what that's called in the Old Testament? That's called a false witness. And the Bible says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let me tell you something. That's why if I begin to hear someone discussing someone, they'll say, what do you think? I said, I have nothing to say. Why do I have nothing to say? What if what is being said is an innuendo started by someone who hates the person, or it is an absolute lie, and you repeat it, you're repeating a lie. What does that mean? You are aligning yourself with the accuser of the brethren. And I'm going to make this statement because this is probably the most negative thing about certain types of social media. There are people that want to build a social media platform and they call themselves influencer. I mean, you know, they got 50 people viewing them, but now they're an official social media influencer. And here's what many people are doing, and I've noticed this. They're building their platforms off of other people's pain. I saw a situation way back, and this minister had accusations. No proof. And there must have been 50 people starting their channel. Now, I've got something I want to say here. And every one of them said, now, I don't know the man personally. I don't know, but it's being said. I'm thinking, are you got to be kidding me? You have no proof. You have no real evidence. You're going by what somebody says. Now, let me tell you why Satan wants to use Christians. If you remember the book of Revelation chapter 12, Satan is the dragon, and it says the dragon spews water out of his mouth. No, a dragon doesn't do that. Mythologically, a dragon spreads fire out of its mouth, a fire-breathing dragon. That was in the medieval times. We know that doesn't really happen. But the word dracon there is serpent. So the serpent is spewing water out of his mouth to destroy the man-child or Israel in the context of Revelation chapter 12. I read that one, and I said, wait a minute. Water is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. With joy we draw water from the wells of salvation. So what's the dragon doing with water in his mouth? And I was at Jensen Franklin's church years ago, early in the morning, and the Lord woke me up and said, let me tell you what's happening. Since Satan does not have a voice that everybody in the world can hear, he has to use people to gossip, people to backbite, and people to slander. And I have never been more disgusted in my life when there was a fellow minister that something happened to him and somebody posted, I want him to get up and tell us everything he did and name what he did and tell us in details before I'll ever listen to him again. Okay, I got a word for you. You go first. I'm going to get blunt. You get up. You get up in front of the church and tell how many women and men you slept with. You get up in front of the church and tell me how many times you committed fornication and adultery. You get up in the church and tell them as a drug dealer how many people you beat up and killed. You get up in front of the church and you talk to them about how many people you stole from and ripped off. You get up. And I heard a guy say one time, oh no, oh no. Yes, I did all those things, but it's under the blood. Okay, if it's under the blood, keep it under the blood. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You want gossip. You want gossip that you can repeat. And the Bible is against backbiters. The Bible is against those people who open their mouth without a cause. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's against liars. People who make up these stories or they embellish a story just so they can make money off of somebody else's pain. Oh, I know that's blunt. All right. I know it's blunt, but I'm telling you something. Satan doesn't have any credibility. He's a murderer, he's a thief, and he's a liar. But do you know how he's getting credibility? Every time a crazy Christian opens their mouth and talks about something that they don't know anything about. Oh, I read this, I heard this, it's alleged, it's said. Accusations are not evidence. Now, there is a reason, and I'll cover this later on. The Bible talks about restoring. There is a process of restoration. I know what that process is. I know what it is from the scripture. I know what it is because I'm a fourth generation minister and I've seen men and women of God who went through restoration. But you're not helping things at all because I know people that believe if it's their family, they want restoration. But if it's somebody they don't like how they teach, they don't like their doctrine, they don't like them as a person, they don't want restoration for that other person. Let me say something to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 through 12. Whose coming is after the lawless one, according to the working of Satan, with all power, lying wonders, and unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and that they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you listen. If you're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness toward another person, you are forfeiting your mercy. Jesus said, if your brother offends you and wants forgiveness, forgive him. And he says, if you forgive him, I'll forgive your sins. Read Matthew 6. But if you don't forgive and you keep talking bad about him and you keep cutting him down and you're not willing to forgive and you say you're a believer, I won't forgive you your sins. Jesus said that. Christians, you're walking around with sins that are still hanging on to you because you haven't forgiven other people. Go read the Bible. It's strong. It's a strong word. And so I want to tell you, remember this, with the same judgment you judged, it'll come back on you again. But however you judge somebody else, it's coming your way. Whew. Okay, don't miss next week. So I'm going to pick up a part 3 with a different title. And I've really got to show you some things. Keep watching. This is a heavy word. We've got to hear this word today in Jesus' name.
See and hear 100% proof that ancient Bible prophecies are now being fulfilled as we are racing toward the return of Christ. In Perry Stone's new DVD series, 30 Prophecies Fulfilled Since 1967, he documents amazing prophecies, some penned in Scripture thousands of years ago that have been fulfilled beginning in 1948 to today. All are now unfolding in the nation of Israel. Perry explains how Israel is God's last day prophetic time clock, pointing to the midnight hour of the Messiah's return. During more than 40 trips to Israel, Perry has been boots on the ground, capturing firsthand when, where, and how these 30 prophecies have been and are presently being fulfilled, from the Golan Heights in the north to ancient Judea and Samaria, then south to the Judean wilderness region, including the Dead Sea. He reveals prophecies about modern weapons and wars in Israel. He includes Israeli cities and events on ancient mountains, leading you through a journey linked with predictions about the walls and gates of Old Jerusalem. Perry includes new and undeniable evidence that he has never publicly shared before. On this 2-DVD set, 3-hour teaching, Perry includes photographic confirmation of prophetic activity throughout Israel, verifying these end-time prophecies are being fulfilled. He affirms his evidence using biblical word studies, historical proof, providing significant visual lists during his teaching. These 3 hours are a full prophetic documentary that proves the Bible is true. 1948 was the introduction of end-time events, and 1967 was the early beginning of the end. As Rabbi Gorin stated in 1967, "We have entered the seasons of the Messiah." This DVD series is a must-watch for all prophecy lovers. This teaching is also a fabulous soul-winning resource to share with prophetic skeptics, unbelievers, unsaved, and lukewarm family members and friends. The 3-hour 2-DVD series is yours for a donation of $30 or more. In addition, Perry is adding a surprise bonus audio CD with your order. Order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or online at perrystone.org. A video on-demand option is also available on our website. To order by mail, send a check with offer number PF-145 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. No excerpts of this series will be aired on television or social media, and it is only available through Perry's ministry. We look forward to hearing from you today.
If you're one of those individuals that love prophetic teaching and you want to know what is happening now and how prophecies have been fulfilled and you want evidence that they've been fulfilled, this special offer is absolutely for you. So I want you to order this 2-DVD, 3-hour teaching about the prophecies that have been fulfilled in Israel throughout the Holy Land. And I want you to also know I'm including what I call a mystery audio CD. It's a bonus CD that I want to include in your order. So go ahead and do that now. Go to the phone, the 1-888 21 bread number. You can contact our office. You've seen the advertisement, so you know what to do there. I was praying the other day, and I have never in my lifetime, 22 years of being on Manifest and being a minister of the gospel for 47 years, ever made the statement that I'm getting ready to make. We have so much that we're trying to do for the Lord, and yet our income remains the same every single year. We put out, we receive income, we put it out, we receive it, we put it out, because we never ask for finances. We never do it on Facebook, we never do it on YouTube or social media. So my point is, if you get some kind of send Perry Stone, I'm Perry Stone, send money to Chicago and DC, it's a faker. Do not send a dime or a penny, but report them. But I was praying the other day, and this is what I felt led, and I'm gonna throw this out there. There's somebody that lives in the Gulf region, someone that lives in the Gulf region, and the Lord will deal with you about helping the Voice of Evangelism ministry to reach the nations of the world. Because let me just say something to you. I have a big children's ministry that we're trying to start, sets that we're trying to build. There's so much I want to do, but I am restrained by the fact that we receive the same amount of income every year. Now, why does that happen? Because partners pass away, friends pass away, and you have to replace those, but it always balances out. Now look, God has helped us and blessed us to do everything we're doing. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want you to listen to the voice of the Lord and be obedient to Him, because one of the things that our ministry does is we help Arab people and Arab Christians all through the Middle East. Some of them are very, very poor. We've helped organizations to feed the people in Nazareth, to feed the people in Bethlehem, to provide assistance during COVID when they had no income, no money. We have one group, and they have a stack of papers this thick, where they have the evidence that they bought people's medicine, they helped people with surgeries, they bought people's food in Bethlehem when nobody had money, and our ministry was there to help them. I want to give God the glory. We don't do that to sound a trumpet, but we want you to know that we're doing a lot that we can, as much as we can for God, and we appreciate your support. Don't forget the main events coming up and some other great meetings. God bless you. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z., with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.